Hi there, listeners. It's Farnoosh, and I just want to say I'm really honored that you've chosen to subscribe to So Money. I know there are a lot of podcasts out there. The fact that you're here is not lost on me. Now, if you're enjoying these episodes and you're benefiting from the advice and you want more, I've actually created something really special for us. It's called the So Money Members Club. It's an online platform where you can connect more closely with me and engage with fellow So Money fans who want to become more empowered in their financial lives. The website is SoMoneyMembers.com. And when you go there, you'll learn all the benefits, including exclusive monthly finance workshops, private group calls with me. You get your questions answered in our member community. I'm often in there weighing in, and you get instant access to all of our workshop recordings. We have a robust library that's growing. So far, we've had workshops on investing in real estate, kids and money, and how to earn more in 2024. And most of all, it's fun, positive, encouraging, all the things personal finance should be. Go to SoMoneyMembers.com, and I hope you'll join us. I'm limiting enrollment, and doors will close soon. Check out SoMoneyMembers.com. Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution: more knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money Episode 781, Hani Wilshansky, early childhood leadership coach and CEO of Discover Ed Consulting.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Karabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
Imagine being at the grocery store checkout with little kids. You're desperate to leave because one kid's crying, the other's starving, and your credit card gets denied. And then the next credit card gets denied. And by the way, this is the food you need to go home to prepare dinner for your family. Welcome to So Money, everyone. I'm your host, Farnoosh Tarabi. Our guest today experienced this and made two vows to herself when it happened. One, to never run out of money again. And two, to never go grocery shopping again. She's managed to do both quite well. I'm honored to welcome Hani Wilshansky to the show. She is a teacher turned entrepreneur, mom to four kids, and the breadwinner in her marriage. Hani and I talk about her turning points, how she manages money and responsibilities in her big family as the breadwinner, and important advice for women who may be unsure about simultaneously pursuing a career and parenthood. Here's Hani Wilshansky. Hani Wilshansky, welcome to So Money.
Thank you for having me. I'm really looking forward to this conversation, Farnoosh.
I am too. So everybody, Hani emailed me. She's a listener of the show. We were have a mutual friend, and she pitched me this amazing email for getting herself on this show. And this is an example of just how when you write something powerful or when you really know your audience, she really knows you guys and you gals out there and what we like to hear and learn about. So this bulleted email that really had some fantastic insights and conversation points for us to uncover on the episode, including the fact that you're a breadwinner in your marriage, that you're a first generation American, and how that kind of patchworked your narrative as a child and now as an adult, your transition from working as a teacher to now being an entrepreneur, and of course, managing family with career and motherhood and womanhood and all everything in between. So lots to dive in with you. We only have 30 minutes, but I'll do my best. First, Hani, tell me a little bit about your beginnings as a teacher. And did you always have a vision to be your own boss?
That's such a great question. I actually never had a vision to be my own boss. My vision always was to actually start my own preschool. So I was a teacher from when I was 18 years old. As soon as I graduated high school, I went straight to work. I actually went to get my master's and just higher education after I was married. So when I was 18, I started working as a teacher's assistant in the Upper West Side in the city. And I really just enjoyed working with children. I worked with toddlers, and I slowly started working my way up, teacher assistant, teacher, admin, just working my way up the ladder. But I never had envisioned being an entrepreneur from when I was younger. That wasn't something that was in like my game plan.
What inspired it?
So what inspired it was a number of different pieces that all kind of came together at the same time. So I was working in Preschool of the Arts in Chelsea. They have a number of locations in the city, and I started mentoring a lot of the teachers that were actually master certified and had multiple degrees and initials after their last name. But in the practical application of running the classroom and relationships with parents and leadership in the classroom is where a lot of them had fallen short. And that was my strong suit. And so I was doing a lot of mentoring, and there was a couple of pieces I was like, you know, first I was like, from a money standpoint, I'm like, this is crazy. Like, they're getting paid triple than me because I don't have a master's and I'm like the one that's mentoring them. And then it also came from a standpoint where we had two kids at the time, and we were seriously living paycheck to paycheck. Sometimes, you know, most of the time going into debt just to pay the rent and pay for food. And I was like, this is not sustainable. I can't live on a teacher's salary if I want to raise a family. And so that is what ultimately had me pull the plug from being in the classroom and moving on to, you know, to other areas.
While some teachers would have said my salary is not enough to cut, to afford childcare, so I'm just going to become a stay-at-home mom. Was that ever in the cards for you?
Never. So again, every single person is wired differently. For me personally, I find a lot of fuel of working outside the home and connecting with clients and just the impact and the influence that I could create in so many other people. And when I come home, I know that I've had that time for myself and I'm able to actually fuel my family as well. So for me, I look at it integrated, but also as separate entities.
And now you have four children, fast forward, and the company now that you run is Discover Ed Consulting. Tell us about it and how you found your niche in the education space.
Yeah. So I started by giving teacher training workshops, and I actually used to drive down to the school to give the workshop. So I would drive like a little over 2 hours to get to each school. And I live in, you know, New York City. So I would drive to any of the neighboring states or boroughs or whatever it was. I'd give the workshop for 2 hours and then I'd drive back for 2 hours. But it was also prep, and it was a whole day's work. And I would get the most amazing paycheck of $200 for the entire day. And I was like, this is crazy. This is not sustainable. I am offering way more value than $200. I need to figure out how to turn this into a proper business where I'm actually making money and not paying someone to, you know, so I can have this expensive hobby, essentially. So that was kind of the beginning of my journey. And then I started investing in mentors, and we can kind of go down that rabbit hole, how I started investing before I even had money. And we were, you know, thousands of dollars in debt, but I took this leap to invest in a mentor who completely had changed the course of my business. And that's how ultimately we started to become profitable.
That is really risk driven. I mean, you're invested. How did you know that? What told you this was going to pay off?
Such a good question.
And what were the conversations you were having with your partner? Because that's complex.
Oh yeah. So we were, to be exact, a little over $30,000 in debt at the time. There's so many moving pieces, but this one story just always sticks out at me. So I was about 7 or 8 months pregnant with my third child, and I was in the grocery store. I was going food shopping for the week, and I came up to the counter. Now in Brooklyn, where I live, on Thursday afternoons, the grocery store is like out the door. It's a madhouse. The lines are just forever. Everyone's going shopping for Shabbat. And so there's hundreds of people in the store, and I'm at the checkout counter, and I give them my card, and it's declined. And I'm like, oh my God, I just wanted the floor to like eat me up alive. So I give him the next card and it's declined again. I'm like, no, you have to try it. It for sure works. And he tries it again and it's not working. And I'm getting these angry stares from everyone behind me, like, you know, move on, lady. So he puts my stuff aside. He's like, you know, figure out if you can get a different card. If not, you know, we'll send your stuff back into the shelves. And I'm like, I'm just like shaking. I'm like reliving the story now. My whole body's shaking again. And so I call my husband. I'm like, Mayor, the card's declined. I'm in a store. We need food. He's like, try this card. So I give him the card. It goes through. We have the food come home. And I came into the house. And I don't even know how many hours I cried for. But it was at that moment that I told myself two promises. I said, number one, I'm going to pull my family out of this debt, come hell or high water. And number two, I will never go grocery shopping again. And I have kept both of those promises. I have pulled my family out of the debt, and I have never gone grocery shopping again. My husband does all the grocery shopping.
Good for you. And now you're the breadwinner. So how has that financial dynamic manifested in, you know, do you feel like you guys kind of fell into it and all kind of the puzzle pieces figured themselves out, or you had to really work at creating a system that manages the emotions and the money?
Yeah. Such a good question. So the first thing is that, while I am the breadwinner, my husband has a job as well. And, you know, he works long hours and everything. So there's so much of the dynamic that we have to pull together, where it's like, you know, whose job kind of takes precedence when it comes to certain things. Because there are times that there's a lot of overlap. And so that's a constant conversation. But as far as like, it was never like, oh, the business is going to, you know, bring in more money than my husband's salary. It's what ended up happening. Like the way that we set up the model and the way that we're continuing to invest is that it's, you know, continuing to go on that track. The way that we really navigate it together is there's so many different pieces, but I think the first one is that Mayor is 1,000% on board, and he's 1,000% supportive of the fact that he's like, you know, he always tells me, you have these amazing talents and gifts that you have. And, you know, it's amazing what you can do with them. It's amazing the impact you can make on the world. And why should, you know, who makes more money be a definition of whether or not you could do this? Like, that's just silly. So that's his mindset. And I'm very grateful for that. And that's how we're really able to navigate a lot of the other, you know, ups and downs that come along with it.
That's really exceptional and wonderful and important to hear.
Yeah.
So, a little bit more, I'd love to learn about you're a mom, you run a business, but the chapter before that was, you know, Hani the teacher can't afford food. And so that's a lot, like that moment I think a lot of people experience today. It's like, how do I keep the lights on, be fulfilled in my career and make that money, but also address the costs and afford my family? And it's very obvious why so many women in particular who are making the lower salaries drop out of the workforce. That scares me. Mm-hmm. That trend is not going away. In fact, there was an article in the Times recently about how so many young women have all these ambitions and, you know, they want to pursue the have it allness. And then they realize, oh my gosh, daycare is so expensive. Childcare is so expensive. My salary is like less than what it is to put my kid through school. So I'm going to be the full-time caretaker. And then unexpectedly, unplanned, without really wanting to do it, they opt out of the workforce, which is sad, but also scary because they're not making money.
Yeah.
How do you make money and have a family? I will go to the deep end and say, you should work at a deficit for the first few years while you have a kid, even if it means not running into like credit card debt, but you know, the economics are not the only thing that you have to account for. There's other things.
Yeah. And I also think there's different kinds of debt as well, which I'm sure, you know, I know you've spoken about this a lot. There's, you know, there's credit card debt, a mortgage is a kind of debt. Like there's different kinds of debt.
Yeah. Student loans.
Yeah. So it's so tricky because it's everyone really has to understand their risk tolerance and, you know, what really works for them. To me, staying home was never a card on the table. And so because it was never a card on the table, we really had to figure out, well, how are we really going to make this work? Because staying home, it wasn't an option. I could never see myself being home and being happy. Like I'd be miserable. So for me, it was worth it to take a little bit of a plunge. We were in debt for a little bit. We were struggling, but it was investing in the right. I think what you're talking on also with the moms, and I'm kind of going off a little tangent here, but I want to touch on this point, is that we can only make decisions from a place of where we know right now, right? So like we say things like, oh, I want this dream house, or I want this dream this, but your dream of that is the dream of the current state you're in. In 5 years from now, your dream house could be something else. And so I feel like for women that are in that state that you were saying is, get out of your shell. It's like, speak to a mentor, speak to someone else who's, you know, run that course, who's run that path, and just hear from a different insight. Let them get their eyeballs on your life and what's going on and see where they can offer some insight. Like it could be something small that can have a massive effect.
Right. I think there's also some things that have nothing to do with money that can really alter your perspective
on
the situation. So we also know that so many people commute to get to their jobs. And if you have children and you're commuting an hour each way, which is not uncommon, my friends do it.
Yep.
That can also add to your disdain with your career. And then you're just like more than willing to just quit because you're like, I don't make enough. I'm losing time away from my family, which is really important to me. So finding a way to make some of those things less of an issue, perhaps it means changing jobs to something that's more close or asking your employer for more time off to work from home rather than commute.
It's asking terrifying questions, I think, because for me, no, and I'm being so brutally honest right now. Like when I was doing those workshops and driving back and forth for hours and getting paid $200, right? When I was talking to my mentor and we ultimately, you know, cut that out of the business and we started something else, I was terrified. I'm like, what do you mean I'm not going to do that anymore? But that brings in money. He's like, no, it doesn't. That's $200 is not money. I'm like, but it's something. I was terrified to let go of that. And he's like, no, you have to let go of that and shift into this in a different model. So I think that, you know, when you're thinking about this long commute and like, oh, it doesn't make sense. Well, ask yourself some questions that you've never asked before and just sit in that uncomfortability of that question. I just finished reading a chapter in Mike Michalowicz's new book, Clockwork.
Yes.
One of the things that he wrote in the book that just, I've heard this so many times, but reading it again this morning was like, boom. He said, you need to get more uncomfortable. I'm sorry. The fear of being complacent and staying comfortable should be more terrifying than the fear of the unknown. And that's the place you have to get to. And so as a mom, the complacency of like, oh, it's just much easier to stay home. No, that should be terrifying to you as opposed to going out into the unknown, which is, you know, seemingly the most terrifying thing.
Yeah. I always say, moms, you did the most terrifying thing by going through natural labor. You had a baby. You went through 9 months. That's the scariest thing I've ever done. And I did it. And God helped me. I lived through it. And like, I'm very grateful. So like everything else is...
It's a walk in the park, right?
It's a walk in the park. It's a cakewalk.
Totally.
But I wrote down a lot of these zingers that you just delivered to us. And I'm going to... I'm going to borrow these if you don't mind. Don't make it a card on the table, this whole stay at home thing.
Yep.
And not work thing. Mm-hmm. I get wanting to spend quality time with your children. I get wanting to be at the forefront of parenting. I get taking time off after you have a baby to be in bond with your child and be with your child. But this idea of like, I'm never going to go back to work.
But I have all of that. I really want to go into that. I think that like, this is like a mindset thing that I had where it's like, you know, my dad runs a nonprofit for the past little over 30 years and he helps Russian Jews in New Jersey and just all over the state. And growing up, people always used to come into the house and talk to him about their problems and about their relationships. And as a rabbi, he just would listen, you know, and give advice or whatever it is. And one time I was like, I don't remember, maybe 8 or 10 years old. And he was, after this particularly difficult conversation, this woman was leaving the house. And he pulls me over. He goes, "You see, honey, you see this woman?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "She has millions of dollars. She has more money than she knows what to do with. But look at her life. She's miserable. She just got divorced. Her kids don't talk to her." And he went the whole laundry list of all the problems she has in her life. And he's like, "This is why you don't chase after money, because money doesn't give you anything." And that was like the mantra that I heard all the time, that money equals horrible relationships, horrible everything, your kids don't talk to you and everything like that. Now, disclaimer, I love my dad. He's an incredible person. I've learned so much from him and I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. And this is, again, like this is, you know, the message that I got, for better or for worse. But to me, money was always, if I have it, then I'm going to lose something else in my life. And so I've always played it small, because like, you know, if I make a little bit of money, then, you know, I'll still be married and I'll still have my kid. And it's so ridiculous, but that's the way I thought. And you have to rewire, like, as a mom, think about, what's your money story? Like, what do you actually believe about money? Like, do you believe that money and a great relationship can't coexist? That's a whole different layer you need to revisit.
For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy, you want a bra that's comfortable, you can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or problem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. The weather's getting warmer as I record. It's a nice 73 degrees on the East Coast. So finally, time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters, and fingers crossed, hello to shorts and tees. And I need to update my wardrobe for the long haul. And, you know, I don't want to spend a fortune. So luckily, I found Quince. I'm honest, I've got a lineup of timeless pieces from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and tons more. Best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I have t-shirts from Quince, pajamas from Quince. My very chic and fashionable sister-in-law, Hannah, her whole closet is Quince. And people often stop us and ask, "Where did you get this? Don't tell me the price." And then when I do, they're shopping on Quince.com. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to Quince.com/somoney for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince.com/somoney to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/somoney. Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution: more knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first, and they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes you like so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, even the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
Yeah. I mean, my money story, my money philosophy, now more than ever, I'm going to have many. I could write a book about money philosophies, but but something that I've recently really felt strongly about is that if I consider myself to be a feminist, which I maybe, you know, people don't like the word, there's a lot of debate around like, am I a feminist? I don't like calling myself a feminist, but I do ultimately believe in the underlying tenets of feminism. Like, I want equality for women and men. I want women to be able to have access to options and choices and financial freedom. Financial freedom. You can't have any of that without money.
Nope.
So if you want to pursue feminism and and be a feminist and support women and be a leader in your life as a woman, to be able to like have options and leave bad situations and enter good situations, you need money, not someone else's money.
Yes, yours.
Money.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, it's so true, because that's where also the mindset shift is. It's been over a very long time, and I continue to, you know, work on it. But a big breakthrough that I've had also is that money is really a tool, and it's going to magnify who you are as a person. And so I've stopped worrying about, oh my God, if I have more money, then I'm going to be, you know, a jerk now to everybody else because, you know, rich people are jerks. No. If I have more money, it's going to magnify who I am. So if I'm a giving person and I'm nurturing and I am a caretaker and I, you know, love my family and my community, then money is going to be able to help me do more of that. Now I could give more money to charity. Now I could give more, like now I can do more with it. It's this tool. And I constantly have to tell myself that story, because it's terrifying to charge more money. It's terrifying to ask people for, you know, your clients, for, like all these different things. It's scary, but where's your focus? Where's your mindset?
I love that. Ask the terrifying question.
Yeah.
And get out of your shell is also what you're saying. Don't make it a card on the table. Get out of your shell. Ask the terrifying questions. And find out what is your money story, because you might be living a life that is in contrast to what you actually want, and it happens to the best of us. So we've learned a lot about your mindset around money. We've gotten even some glimpses into your childhood, your dad's belief systems around money. Was there any other kind of money moment as a kid that really impacted you for better or worse?
I mean, there's, you know, there's so many, like, again, as first generation American, my parents grew up in Soviet Russia. So there was a lot of periods where there was, you know, a hunger, and my grandparents used to have to wait in line to get bread. So throwing out food, or, you know, just being really conservative with everything, was just such a big part of growing up. And just really being I thought it was about being frugal, but it was taken to an extreme, because just because I have money now doesn't mean I waste it. Like, I'm still very cautious. I'm careful. We put money in investment funds so it grows for us. Like, we're working really hard to become more conscious. But I think as a kid, like, the not throwing out food impacted a little bit me as an adult, where, you know, sometimes after dinner, there'll be like a leftover piece or whatever it is, and I'll just like throw it out. And like, my husband's like, no, it's good food. Like, you know, don't throw it out. I'm like, no, no one's eating it. Like, sometimes that impacts me in the wrong way, where like, it's totally good food. Like, the kids will eat it tomorrow. But I'm like, so terrified to like have my kids eat leftovers, because that's all I ate growing up, that I'm like, no, we have to throw it out. So again, like, that's not necessarily for better. Like, you know, I could be more conservative when it comes to that, but it's not a focus that I put too much emotional energy on at this point.
Yeah, no, but it's important to To know where it's rooted.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing for better is that my parents always had cleaning help growing up. So my mom always had help. I'm one of eight kids. Wow. She always had full-time help in the house to clean the house, to just take care of the house. So to me, I have full-time cleaning help as well. I have someone in the house every single day who takes care of the house so that I could take care of the business and my kids and not have to worry about laundry and just all the things that are involved in the house. So while some people look at it as like a luxury, to me, it's an absolute necessity to be able to be a present mom, a present wife, and a great CEO of my company. I completely outsource everything that's involved in running my household.
To hear you talk about the clarity that you have now with things related to work and life and family and yourself, It sounds like maybe this has always been who you are, or was there a period of time when you had to really sit down and get that clarity? And what was that process like?
Yeah, I don't think there was any like specific time. I feel like I'm really okay with bumping my head into the wall. I'm really okay with hitting roadblocks, falling down, getting scraped knees. Like I'm okay with failure. Like I'm okay with it not working out. And I just keep on looking as like, I know there's something else on the other side. Like I know there's something else that's there and I'm going to get there. I'm going to get that clarity. And I think as women, as moms, or just in general, as people, we're afraid to fail. It's scary. But the more you get comfortable with that feeling of like falling down a little bit, it goes up from there. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's a little bit about how I look at it.
Well, I think also maybe it also involved conversation after conversation with your partner.
Yes. Oh my gosh, for sure. So one of the things that we do that's, absolute ritual, and this is like a must. Again, like talking about cards on the table, like this is a card that's always on the table. We have to have couple only time every single month. It goes on an auto reminder in our phones. We go out for breakfast. We leave our house or we live in New York City. We'll walk the bridge. We'll go to the promenade. There's so many places in New York. And we just spend time together. We don't talk about the business. We don't talk about, it's just that emotional connection time. And the other piece also, and I know this can sound terrifying to moms that are listening to this, especially if you have young kids. We go away every single year, just the two of us. For at least one night. Last year, after we paid off debt, we were able to go away to Italy for 7 days, which was incredible. But we go away every single year for at least one night, most two nights, for just away without the kids. We have a sitter that comes, and it's so important to do that when the kids are young, because when they're young is when your family is only as strong as the leaders in the family. The leaders are mom and dad. And if mom and dad aren't taking care of each other, you have nothing to give your family. And so as a mom, sometimes we think it's selfish to go and spend time with your spouse. Like, oh, I'm doing such a guilty pleasure. I'm spending time with my spouse. No. It is selfish not to, because then you have nothing to give your family.
I love that. And I think that's something that merits a lot of reminding.
Yes. Yes. And we need that all the time. And that's why we have order reminders on, because you could have a whole month go by without saying more than like, okay, who needs this? And you have to pick up this and go to the dentist. And we have four kids. So like, it's endless. Wow. Like if you don't block out the time, like you won't say, you could forget to say, I love you. Like,
yes.
So, yeah.
You said earlier you're really okay with bumping your head into the wall.
Yeah.
So what has been your greatest financial failure?
My greatest financial failure. I think I don't know if I look at it as like any like specific kind of, I guess a financial failure would be doing those workshops where I was getting paid like a half a penny an hour to kind of do that job. Because right now I'm very blessed to be really riding an incredible wave of momentum as I'm building the business.
How did you know what you were worth?
With a mentor and a coach and an incredible community that are constantly asking me those hard questions and helping me realize the transformation that I'm creating in with the clients and the schools that I work with has really helped me realize how much I'm worth and how much the content and the coaching that I bring to the table, how transformative it really is.
All right. Honey, you've been amazing. This has been one of my, I've loved this interview with you.
Thank you.
So what else can I ask you? I feel like you've given me so much in a short period of time. I would like to ask you something that it's the month of September and we're back to school, shopping, fall fashion, a little lighter question. But so our sponsor is Chase Slate, and they did a survey recently and found that a lot of young people are sharing their purchases on social media. Over 3/4 of millennials are talking about what they bought on Instagram. What is something that you recently invested in or purchased in your life that you really were excited about and that you shared, whether that was online or offline, doesn't matter, but that, you know, you wanted to reveal this and share the excitement?
So we just came back from 8 days in Florida with the whole family. And that was like so exciting that we bought 5 tickets to go away with the family. So that was something that was super exciting for me that we were able to afford something like that.
How did that trip go?
Incredible. I feel like I want to leave New York City. It was amazing. 8 days with the family, you know, in a, you know, private villa with a pool in the back, like just being able to spend time with the kids and not have to worry about every single purchase. Like the kids wanted ice cream. Let's go get some ice cream. Like not like just that openness and that abundance when we were out there, obviously not, you know, throwing money at the wind, but just being able to have that relaxation piece was so incredibly refreshing and invigorating. Like you're getting me right off this amazing vacation. I am pumped. I am excited. Like it's been incredible. And being able to do that with 4 kids going away like that is
wow.
It's what are their, yeah.
What are the ages? Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no worries. I have a 9-month-old, a 3-year-old, a 6-year-old, and an 8-year-old. So my hands are full.
Are you done?
My husband is amazing. We really, really are a team. Can never, ever, ever do this without him. So raising a family is one of the most amazing gifts, as I'm sure you know, you're a mom yourself. And being together as a team is what really fuels everything. So...
One thing I wanted to ask earlier, as we were talking about being the breadwinner and female financial head of household, describing your role as breadwinner in a word, what is it?
Wow, that's a good question. I think I would say it's really exhilarating to be able to do something that I love, to be able to create an impact in schools and education that I'm so passionate about, and at the same time, be able to bring in an income that allows us to have the quality and the lifestyle that we want. Mm-hmm. That combination of the three, I mean, is so rare, and I feel like insanely blessed.
That's beautiful. So it's untraditional, right? I'm in the camp with you.
Yes, it is, completely, especially in my circles.
This in your
really
circles.
Untraditional. Yeah.
I'm, you know, in my Iranian circles, like you're in your Russian Jewish circles. Like it's, I know. So how does that ever show up in your face?
Yeah, it does. And it does. And it doesn't. It's more like it's so, I feel like it's this way. It's not so much a topic of conversation. Like it's not something that, you know, when we sit down at the table with like our siblings or in-laws or whatever it is, it's not like this conversation that always like comes up that like, you know, the breadwinner or whatever it is, it's more whatever we steer the conversation in other directions because, you know, in all of our siblings, my husband's siblings, my siblings, you know, the man is the breadwinner. So it's very untraditional, and my husband has 9 siblings. So between all of us, we flipped it on its side, but it really works for us and we're very happy. And I think it's about just not letting what other people think affect how you're choosing to design your life.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's hard. I'm not going
to
take that away.
Yeah, you have to kind of ignore people.
It's very difficult, and a lot of it's in my head, and it's hard. I'm not going to lie. This is something that is very hard. Absolutely.
Well, let's end on something light.
Yes.
These are so many fill in the blanks.
Okay.
Been doing this is like my 700th time, but it never gets old. I just start a sentence, and then you finish it.
Okay.
If I won the lottery tomorrow, let's say $100 million, the first thing I would do is?
The first thing I would do is give at least 10-15% of it to charity. We're very passionate about the charities that we give to.
Awesome. One thing I spend on that makes my life easier or better, without saying childcare or like housekeeper, because I get that inevitably.
Oh, okay.
Time.
Okay. So
it's a given.
Yeah. So, because I spend a lot of money on house help, my house manager. So can you repeat the question again?
Sure. One thing I spend my money on that makes my life easier or better is?
I do like lots of self-care, like spas, massages, manicure, like things like that. And it's I enjoy it a lot.
The one thing I wish I had learned about money growing up is?
Save. How to save properly without feeling stingy. Like save in a way that's smart, that's thinking long-term, that's playing a long game. And that is something that I do with my kids. They earn money for different things and I'm always teaching them how to save.
Play the long game.
Yes.
And last but not least, I'm Hani Wilchansky. I'm so money because?
I'm so money because money doesn't rule my life. Money is a tool that will continue to magnify who I really am. And that is my journey of constantly becoming better every single day, being a better mom, a better person, a better wife, and a better CEO so that I can make that impact on the schools that I work with.
Hani, thank you so much. This has been a phenomenal conversation. I want to talk more to you about all the ways that you are the how of Hani Wilchansky. That should be the book, like the how of you.
Thank you.
So important to hear from strong women like you these days. Can't get enough of it. Congratulations on all your successes.
And thank you.
Happy back to school with your kids.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Furnish. This was so much fun. I really appreciate it. I had a great time. Thanks.
To learn more about Hani and her business, check out discoveredconsulting.com. And she is also very active on Facebook at Hani Wilchansky. If you missed any of these links or want to read the episode, we have transcripts or download it, go to somoneypodcast.com. And while you're there, if you've got a question for me for our Friday Ask Farnoosh sessions, just click on Ask Farnoosh. Thanks for tuning in. And I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with tap to pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code PODCAST15.